So today we are talking about hats and the roles those hats represent. Some of us, ironically, actually wear hats that never belonged to us in the first place, and we aren't even aware of it. There's a statistic that's really common in churches around America that 20% of the people within a church do 80% of the work. And within that statistic, I think that 20% is probably holding on to a few roles that don't actually belong to them, thinking, oh, that other 80%, just they're not going to do the work, so I've got to do it. And then that 80% is going, there's nothing for me to do. All the roles are taken care of. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do in the first place, but these other 20 have got it all taken care of. They don't need me. So it's kind of a problem in the church, and I think it's a time we take a step back and look at this issue head on. Before we get started any further, let's open up with some prayer, though. God, you know our hearts. You know the skills and gifts that you uniquely placed inside of us. Lord, I pray that you teach us today to be okay with setting down the roles that are not meant for us and to pick up the roles and step into the body of Christ that you have called us to do. In your name I pray, amen. So in Exodus 18, we see Moses. Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt, and so they're free, but they're not quite ready to enter into the promised land. So they're wandering in a desert, they're nomads, and in the midst of this story, we see Moses really struggling with balancing roles. Israel's kind of a needy group of people. They would continue to come up to him, knock, knock, knock on his tent, and be like, hey, Moses, I got a question. And he'd have to solve their problem, be like, my mother-in-law's really driving me crazy. What's the solution here? You know, silly things. What color tunic should I wear today? They're knocking on his door asking him all kinds of questions that they probably could solve themselves. And instead of turning them away, he just lets them line up and answers all their questions. And it gets to the point where there are so many of them that he no longer has time for family. So he sends his wife Zipporah and their two sons back to his father-in-law, Jethro, so that they can be with family, so that he has more time to do ministry. Well, his father-in-law is not very happy about that. And even though Jethro is a convert to Judaism, he's not actually biologically a Jew, he approaches Moses to share with him how he feels about how he's operating ministry. So Jethro comes and sees what Moses is doing, and in Exodus 18, 17 through 18, we see Jethro say this. He says, "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You are going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself." Jethro continues on in this same chapter in 18 to tell him, "I've got a plan for you," okay? Ironically enough, you know, Moses interacts with God directly, but needs Jethro to talk to him about how to do ministry. So Jethro gives him a plan of, okay, so here's what you need to do. First off, you need to set down this responsibility. This is not yours, set it down. And then you need to elect some people to take care of this responsibility. So fortunately for Israel, Moses decides to elect a group of men that he calls officers, and they each are in charge of a different chunk of Israel. And so they get to have the knock, 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 what color shirt should I wear today questions. And so they become a filtering process. So any big problems that the officer can't solve himself will then come to Moses and say, okay, here's something we really need a leader for. Help us filter through this and sort it out. Fortunately for Israel, Moses actually listened to his father-in-law. Israel really could have suffered spiritually if Moses would have rejected this. And the funny thing is, Moses is not the only one that we see in Scripture really struggling with roles. In the New Testament, we see Paul write to many churches, the Corinthians and the Ephesians included, about participating in the body of Christ. He actually uses this really cool new way of speaking about the body. The fact that he uses the phrase body of Christ, we get that from Paul. And he breaks it down for him. And uses the body to just emphasize how important every part is. We can't all be, you know, you can't use the hand without an arm and all of that stuff. Each of the pieces all connect together and they're all important. And so he really highlights the value of all the different roles in the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read a couple different pieces of 1 Corinthians 12, but he emphasizes this body to the Corinthians who are kind of struggling. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange would it be if it was only had one part? Yes, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Just like Jethro approached Moses and said, you need help. You need these officers. You can't do all of this yourself. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the value of every member in the church as part of the body. Every member has a responsibility and a role. Paul continues on and explains more in chapter 12 about the fact that each part of the body also has a spiritual gift connected to it. And he says that in verse 7, he says that there's a manifestation of the Spirit within you to equip you for your role in the body of Christ. Each body is important. Each gift is important. And we are individually also one body together. But to be honest, I think the American church struggles with this. We have this tendency to be busy and to fill ourselves with roles. We've got lots of roles that we wear, you know, the great mom, the involved in everything teen. But although those earthly roles are wonderful, we are called as Christians to glorify God with our lives, first and foremost. And I think we struggle with that truth. We end up exhausting ourselves with all these worldly things and end up having no energy left for ministry and no energy left for showing God's love to people. C.S. Lewis wrote many books, but one specific book that really fits this is a book called The Screwtape Letters. It's a fictional compilation of letters that Screwtape, who is a senior demon, writes to his nephew Wormwood, who is a beginner demon, on how to tear down his assignment. His assignment is a human on earth, and how to make sure he's distracted and doesn't follow the enemy, which is a demon's perspective of who God is he's the enemy. So in this, Screwtape suggests, you know, using addictions, using temptations. When that doesn't work, he tries to use loneliness, and it, you know, distracts the guy, you know, like, and makes him feel lonely inside, and then the guy gets married, then messes with the guy's marriage. This demon keeps trying to derail his assignment so that he's not doing what God has called him to do. Unfortunately for the demon Wormwood, he's not successful. But I do see this fictional story as a great perspective on our problem. We are so busy filling roles that we aren't able to actually glorify God. And the funny thing is, sometimes we're filling roles within the church, but we fill ourselves with time, and, you know, I can serve at the banquet, but I can also do this thing, you know, ring the bells for the Salvation Army, and then after that, but in the midst of it, you're rushing through all these things, and you're a grump, because we're just grumpy, and we can't show God's love to people, because we're exhausted, because we have to do ministry. We're so busy checking off our list of doing ministry that we forget to actually do it, which is exactly where Screwtape wanted Wormwood's assignment to be. If that's the case, if we keep on that route, we don't need demons. We don't need atheists to derail the church. We will self-destruct ourselves. The church will fall apart and be useless for ministry if we keep holding on to these roles that are not ours. So maybe we should take some time to step back and reflect. I'm going to be your Jethro for a moment, and I want you guys to consider your service. So we're going to evaluate the things that in your head. So, you know, you process internally, write down notes on your soul provider, whatever you can do. But consider these thoughts, these questions together. What places have you committed to? Maybe you already have a list in your head. You know, gosh, I have such a long list, I can't even remember them all. But consider church commitments. Maybe your job has you doing extra volunteer work on the side. Maybe as a parent, your kid has responsibilities, which affects your schedule as well. Or any other volunteer work you have. So you have that list in your head or on a paper of the places you commit to. As you're looking at this list, what is your motivation for doing them? Are you doing them because of your gifting, the way God has built you to be? Or is it out of guilt? What is your motivation for each of these things? As you process your motivation, the next thing to think about is your emotions while serving in that specific role. Are you able to show God's love to people while doing this role? Or are you, like I said earlier, a grump? Are you cynical? Are you frustrated? Are you just rushing through it and, yeah, God loves you, see you later, you know? What are your emotions while you are serving in that specific role? And the last question when it comes to service is, are there other places you should be considering? There are other places that maybe God has built you for. I would trust your initial responses, because sometimes like our initial reactions can really be something that are unfiltered, that we don't have time to process through and be like, oh, gotta, don't share that with somebody because they might think, whew, they don't actually love Jesus because they don't want to hold babies, you know, in the nursery. Trust those initial responses. And perhaps you are like Moses, and some of these responsibilities that you've listed are things you need to set down. Perhaps you need to hang them on the coat tree and just let it be. I'm not saying everything needs to be dropped, like, I'm not going to serve anywhere, but maybe out of 6 commitments, you need to drop 2 so that you can show God's love better in those other 4 places. After you have evaluated your service, the next thing to consider is evaluating your gifts. There are thousands of different resources available to help you evaluate your spiritual gifts, like Paul talks about with the different parts of the body, and I want to offer you one more. This is called Discover Your Spiritual Gifts the Network Way. This is one of the books I actually had to use for seminary in my spiritual disciplines class. And within this, it has 4 different exercises that you can go through to help you determine from different angles what your spiritual gifts are. So each of these 4 come from a different perspective and together give you a better vision of what your spiritual gifts are. There's also a bonus feature of a ministry assessment tool. So maybe you're having a tough time evaluating your service without being biased and, you know, trying to be, you know, a good Christian. So there's a set of questions in here, 5 questions to help you determine maybe this is the right place for me, and I need to shed some other things, or maybe it's not my place to hold babies in the nursery. You know, maybe I need to find a different place to serve. So this is an amazing tool. We actually have a few copies of this available at the Welcome Center to purchase. If that's something you want to do, you can check out after service with Jennifer Simons. Or you can find it on Amazon Prime. That's available there too. After you've taken time to evaluate your service and consider the gifts that you have, your next step is action. Perhaps you are like Moses, and you need to let go of a few hats that aren't actually yours and start filling the roles that God has built you for. It is okay. It's time to be okay letting go with certain ministry pieces. Currently in our household, we are in a time of Moses. We are a time of experiencing Moses' need to set down a role. It's time for my husband, Jesse, the handsome guitar player that was up here, to set down his role as the worship coordinator and to move on to other roles that God has called him to do. And to be honest, I'm not even the one making the change, but change is not going to be easy. Yes, you know, in the end for Moses, like, Israel operated in a better way, but we are creatures of habit. Setting down those roles you're not built for is not going to be an easy transition for you. How many of us purposefully choose change, you know? But ministry can suffer if we hold on to roles God has not built us for. We will burn ourselves out and our ministry out by holding on to things we are not built for. Maybe you're not like Moses, and maybe you can't, you're like, I don't actually serve anywhere. Like, I don't have any roles to set down. I don't know what she's talking about. Maybe you're like the officers that as these people like Moses in our, you know, in our congregation here, as they set down these roles that they should have let go of 10 years ago, you'll see your role open up. Like, oh, look, I can hold babies now because some, I don't know why I'm stuck on that top, that one, but I just see Tarina in the front and think of the children's ministry. But there's now space for me to be able to hold babies. That's awesome. I love, you know, being able to nurture and show kindness. So as our Moses is in the crowd, responsibly and obediently step down from positions they're not called to do, the officers have space to step in. We all have a role in the body of Christ. Regardless of age, gender, race, we all are called to be part of the body of Christ. God's not done with us yet. I have some amazing examples of people within the church that have used their unique giftings to show God's love and to do ministry. Julie Limeback, she really likes being pointed out too. Julie Limeback and Marty Lusk are both two amazing women that have great visual, what is the word, aesthetic and scrapbooking skills. So if you have ever received a gift or a card from us in the mail for your birthday, those two women hand make those cards for everyone in the church, and we have the opportunity to show you guys love through those women's amazing skills. God has built those women with some gifts that they can use to glorify God and show love to his people. Sam Otis is a graphic designer by trade, and in his free time, he actually designs the slides and the posters that we have in the back for the sermon series. He does all of that as a volunteer work for us. God has made him uniquely gifted for that role. Dennis DeBoer has amazing woodworking skills and has made baptism crosses for the children's ministry and, excuse me, for the youth ministry. When they graduate, they get these really cool crosses that say, "Serve Christ," that he hand makes for them. There are unique gifts that God has built in you that can be used to glorify God. As you discover your spiritual gifts and the skills God has uniquely built in you, you're able to step into service. I want to offer to you four different vacancies that are currently in, that Hillcrest currently has and need help with volunteers. The first is we are looking for mentors for the 180 students. Specifically, currently right now, we're looking for mentors for the boys. We're looking for men who are willing to meet with middle school or high school boys 1 to 2 times a month, go out, get some Taco Bell, maybe take some Tums afterwards, you know, get a Coke, play some basketball, and you pour into their life and show them that they matter and they can share with you their life. This doesn't mean you have everything figured out. Mentors aren't perfect, but you have your story that you can be like, well, it might end up being different for you, but this is what I experienced in my walk with God. And share with them what you've experienced. Chap Clark has a statistic that he shared when Brian and I don't even know how long ago that was that we went to his, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? Anyway, shared a statistic that in order for a child to grow up to be a stable and successful adult someday, they need 5 non-relative adults to commit to them and to invest in their life. Perhaps you are somebody that could invest in a child in the youth program here to encourage them to be stable Christians that continue to glorify God. We're also looking for ushers for the second service specifically. We had some great guys that came and not only did the ushering, but they also helped decorate my stage today. But they pass the offering plates and collect your offering to God, and then they take some time to record and count the giving so that we properly have all of that accurate information. We had the youth students fill that role today, but maybe that's something that you could do next week. We're also looking for small group leaders. These are people who meet with a group of people, they facilitate a lesson and discussion time with a small group of people, and there's some amazing adjustments that we're making administratively that will help make this a smoother process. First is that we're going to have designated start dates, so you have a little bit of an expectation and schedule of, you know, in the fall, in the winter, and in the summer. Is that what we talked about? Summer. And also, we have that program right now, Media, which is kind of like a Netflix for Bible studies. Challenge you to kind of flip through that, look through that thing, and maybe there's a topic that you're like, man, I've always wanted to talk about this with people. It might be the Holy Spirit stirring in you to contact Brian and be like, hey, do you think we could get a group of people together to talk about, you know, how to be a good dad or how to be an excellent single person and glorify God, or what have you. We're also, last but not least, looking for musicians for the worship team up here. This is not a skill I personally have. I have no musical talent in my body. But God has gifted certain people with musical talent. And this isn't about, you know, you being like, oh, I'm a rock star, I can handle this, but helping us to worship God, using your skills to facilitate all of us being able to glorify God. So don't feel like you're making a proud statement as you approach that, but recognize that I can help people worship God. Like, that's a valuable thing to step into, you know, showing God glory with using, you know, my trumpet skills, or Baldo played the congas recently, which was really fun and different. If you are interested in serving in different ways, on the back of your connection card, on the back of your bulletin, there's a connection card. Some of you might have already tossed in the offering plates, but there's a spot where you can mark that you're interested in learning about volunteering. And so you can toss that in the offering plate as one way to contact them and say, hey, I'm really curious about learning more. Or you can talk to Pastor Brian or head to the Welcome Center to gather more information about that. Or maybe you're like, actually, none of the things on this list really sound interesting to me, and I'm not sure I'm gifted for them. As you process your gifts and the passions that you have inside, you can always approach me, Brian, Pastor Doug, and we can see how those ministry skills can fit into glorifying God within these walls and within this people. I hope that you hear today that you are unique, you are valuable, and you have something to offer. Your skills are something that can be used to glorify God, whether it be scrapbooking or whether it be preaching a sermon. Those things can be used to glorify God. It's time we set down the hats that we shouldn't be wearing in the first place, and to pick up the ones that God has built us for. As we close, I want to do something a little different. I want to offer you guys a benediction, which is a blessing I bless over you. So if I could have you guys stand, I'm going to offer you a benediction that comes out of Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, everything good that is pleasing to him. All glory forever and ever to him. Amen. Like Pastor Doug said before I came up here, this is a benevolent Sunday, so as you see fit to serve those that are under-resourced, there's offering towers in the back that you can toss gifts in, and there will also be cookies in the back shaped like skeletons, so you can pick up your part in the body of Christ and taste how delicious it is too. Thank you for coming today. You are dismissed.